Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola and Eric.
Another edition of Hot Takes, where we don't play music every 50 episodes, and when we do, we kick it back about 20 years. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at Eric_Nifong, and I'm joined by Nolan Haig at NJH09. Nice song choice there for our number 51.
Yeah, yes, it, as you know, and our countless listeners know, that, I kind of totally spaced on having music ready for the last one, but, so yeah, to commemorate 50 episodes, got a little 50 in there, so, yeah.
Yeah, we're bringing it back, Hopefully some of our
viewers that song is not 20 years old. It is not a 20-year-old song yet.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
Only feels like it.
That it does. That it does. I remember that was the first album I actually ever purchased. So, yeah.
Wow.
Good times.
See, there we go. Bringing back real memories.
Real memories, yep. But, I guess we can kind of get into our show here. We have quite a bit to talk about tonight. Possibly some Draymond Green news we'll maybe get to. We're for sure going to get to all the trade deadline stuff and kind of go over our underrated trades, trades that we think help the most, and some underwhelming trades. And we'll also hopefully talk about some NFL preseason football because, as you all know, and I'm sure – that this Sunday was our last Sunday without NFL football, so should be good until about January.
Well, I mean, in the loosest of senses, like, we're getting football back, but yeah, because the game that's happening on Sunday is not going to look anything like a real professional football game.
Oh yeah, of course not. Actually. It's one of our picks at the end of the game, and I don't know. I just did a coin flip, so
yeah.
I picked my winner.
Yeah, I randomly doesn't really matter.
No, not at all.
But,
but
except on this show.
Yes, exactly. But I guess we should talk about our picks from last week. We had a first game was last Thursday. It was Chris Sale's return. He took on crosstown rival Chicago Cubs and John Lackey. Went into this game. I picked the White Sox. You picked the Cubs, and the Cubs wound up getting a 3-1 victory. Chris Sale looked pretty good, but his offense didn't help him out any, and lost in his first game back.
Yeah, outside of Melky Cabrera RBI double in the first, the White Sox were kind of not even really there offensively. I mean, a team like the Cubs, is even if you are Chris Sale, is going to tag you a couple times over six innings or whatever it was that he went. So, yeah, just not going to win that one.
Yeah, and the Cubs offense is just one of the best in baseball, and if you make any mistakes, they're going to make you pay for it, and that's what they did, pulling across those three runs, and that's all they needed to pull out a victory, and I believe their league-leading 60th victory, so the Cubs are just rolling right along here.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, not, the White Sox weren't good, but that's not to take away from John Lackey. He pitched well and kept only gave up four hits and one walk. So, I mean, if the Cubs can get the rest of the rotation kind of in line here, going heading towards the end of the season, that's they're making getting ready for that deep run that everyone's expecting.
Yeah, and they also made a big splash. It wasn't on trade deadline day, but definitely made a big splash in the trade, and I know we'll probably talk about that a little later. And there's also a trade that I want to talk about with the White Sox that we'll get into as well a little bit here later in the show. So definitely a lot more to talk about the two Chicago teams.
Yeah, but before we do that, so let's move to our next baseball game that we picked. And that was the Cardinals and the Marlins. I actually couldn't remember which one we did, so I'm going to have to turn that back over to you.
We did the game last Thursday night as well. It was Michael Walker versus Jose Fernandez. The Marlins came into this four-game series with a one-game lead over the Cardinals. This was the opening game of the series. I really liked Jose Fernandez going to the mound for the Marlins, but Aledmys Diaz, one of Jose Fernandez's longtime childhood friends, got to him early and actually hit either a two or a three-run homer in the third inning, and the Cardinals would go on to win 5-4. We both picked the Marlins in that game. I thought that Fernandez being on the mound would be huge for him, and I thought would really jumpstart him. I thought if they lost that first game, it would be it'd be kind of a hard series for them to win or even tie, but they did end up going 2-for-2 and ended that series with still the one-game lead. So the other guys backed them up. Yeah, the Marlins still hanging right there, and the Cardinals as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. They're going to keep on battling it out as long as Chicago and Washington stay in first place. So,
yeah,
good series
definitely,
from them. Nice competitive series.
Yeah, and also a bit of a big setback for the Cardinals happened just, I believe, Monday or Sunday. But Aledmys Diaz took a pitch off of his right thumb and got a hairline fracture in it, and it got placed on the DL. It's not a good sign for a hitter. You hope he's able to come back. I think if he's not able to, the Cardinals are really gonna miss his bat in the lineup. So hopefully everything's all right with Diaz because this should be a great race in the wild card until the very end of the season.
Yeah, and hand and wrist injuries are always really tricky, especially when you're invested in guys for their bats. So yeah, I hope all that works out. And there's no difficulty there.
Yeah, definitely, because I do want the Marlins to wind up with that wild card spot, but I want them to be able to do it with the best, all teams at their best, and that'll only help them going into the playoffs. So we'll have to see how that turns out, because of course Trevor Story, the other rookie shortstop in the NL, had thumb surgery and is going to be out for the rest of the season. So that really hurts the Colorado Rockies, who are only 4.5 back of the wild card in their pursuit of a playoff berth.
Yeah, big loss for them. He is definitely coming on strong here in his rookie year.
Yeah, he'll go out August 2nd with 27 homers in the NL, leading all rookies by a wide margin, and I believe even over the next 2 months he'll keep that lead and lead all rookies in home runs. So
shouldn't really be that hard to see more.
Yeah, about his season.
Right. Yeah. Definitely impressive power. even if he's playing in Colorado half the time.
Yes. Yes. We've seen it before. Guys, really, really good jump start in their career there. Only helps them, and then some guys that move on are able to keep that going. So definitely big for the Rockies to have that guy, but a huge loss for him this late in the season.
Yep. Yeah, there are also some other injuries that we might have to get into later, talking about these, just the effect on this playoff races. But let's finish these picks up. I know we kind of went outside of the major sports again, like we've so often had to do. And we had UFC 201. I'm sure that was probably the main event, right? Title fight.
Yes, it was.
Robbie Lawler and
kind of. Yep, Robbie Lawler and Tyron Woodley battle out for the welterweight championship. Kind of a weaker card. Not really the big names that we've been accustomed to seeing, especially in the last two or three pay-per-view cards. This one was kind of let down, except for that main event. And it really hurt that the co-main between Ian McCall and Justin Scoggins got scrapped, because that was going to be a great bout in the flyweight division, but Scoggins couldn't make weight. So we had to wait for Lawler and Woodley. Going into this fight, I thought it was a really good matchup for Tyron Woodley, but I just didn't think that he'd be able to finish Lawler. Lawler has been known to be able to take so much punishment and dish the same amount of punishment back, and guys usually fold to his punishment, and I kind of thought that's what would happen in this fight later in the rounds. Woodley's been known to lose some cardio, and I thought that that would happen and Lawler would take advantage later in the rounds, but and never even threatened to go that far. I believe it was the third or fourth punch that Woodley threw, and he absolutely landed it. 2 minutes, 12 seconds in the first round, faked with the jab and came over with overhand right, knocking Lawler down to the canvas. Got on top of him, landed a couple more strikes, and it was all over. Lawler could barely stand up at the end. Actually tried to stand up and almost fell face first, but the ref caught him. So huge victory for Tyron Woodley. He's the new welterweight champion. Called out Nick Diaz at NGSP after the fight. He says he's 34 and he's done his dues and he wants to make money now. So we'll have to see where that goes from there, but huge victory for Tyron Woodley, former Mizzou wrestler and St. Louis, Missouri native. So congrats to him, and it's also the fastest finish in welterweight championship history.
Yeah, no, he definitely showed off that power. Any thoughts on Robbie Lawler? Did he just get caught, or could it be maybe just the fatigue of the last few fights, the guys that he's had to go through? Do you think we'll get maybe a rematch?
I see where you're coming from. With all the, of course, Lawler has went through some just absolute wars with guys like Roy McDonald and Johnny Hendricks. He's won all of those. But I don't think that really had anything to do with it. He's had some time off here to heal and all that stuff. And so I just think Woodley got him. I think something that's really overlooked is these two trained together at American Top Team. And normally Lawler comes in to his music. He's singing. He's dancing. In this fight, he came out. He was just walking. He didn't look like the same guy. I don't know if maybe he knew something that we didn't, that maybe Woodley got him in practice, and he knew that Woodley would be a really tough challenge for him, because Lawler also in fights just comes right at guys. In this fight, he stood back. He respected Woodley and his power, and Woodley was able to feint and landed that overhand right. And, of course, this is a sport that it only takes one, and anyone can win at any time. It was also the seventh title change in 7 months in this calendar year, by far the most in UFC history. So just goes to show how much the sport has grown and how good guys are now. If we see a dominant champion, they're going to be spectacular and one of the best fighters we've ever seen, because all these fighters are really good now. And I just think it's very hard to hold that strap now. But Lawler did defend his title a couple times before this loss. I don't think we'll see an immediate rematch, just because I don't think Lawler's on that level that he deserves an immediate rematch. I say you pit him against Stephen Thompson, and I really like the Woodley idea of him and Nick Diaz fighting at UFC 201 later in August. Of course, that's the card with Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, so to have both Diaz brothers on there, that card would sell huge. Could possibly be the second largest pay-per-view sell behind UFC 200. So we'll have to see where that goes. But I don't think Lawler should get that immediate rematch. I think he gets one more victory, then he's right back up there. But yeah, I don't think Lawler's done either. So we'll have to see what all shakes out here. Also, the fight was so short for Woodley that unless he broke his hand or a finger or something, he should be ready to go by the end of August. And Nate Diaz's suspension ended yesterday, his 2-year suspension for marijuana. So, yeah, we'll have to see where that goes. I thought Woodley's idea of pitting them two at 201 was brilliant.
Yeah, no, that all you got a few steps ahead of me, but it all sounds very exciting.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Anytime you can get one Diaz brother on a card, it's exciting. But if you can get both of them, look out.
Oh yeah, then you're guaranteed a show, one way or the other.
Yes, that's when the sport becomes entertainment as well, and that's always good to have. So we'll have to see.
Right, and like you're saying, the parity in the sport has gotten a lot better, just even in the time that I've been watching fights. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you have kids now going out and wanting to do this, so I just think that only furthers how big the sport can get.
Right.
And how good these guys can get. And it also goes to show just how good Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre were in their time and how dominant they were. No, the guys weren't as good as they are now, but still, to be able to dominate in a sport that any punch can end your night, it's just remarkable. So hats off to those guys that were able to dominate their divisions for many years.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. Well, I guess we got one more thing to talk about. Or I guess, we have one more that we both picked, and that was the Sprint NASCAR Cup, whatever, at Pocono.
Yes.
And
yes,
it didn't happen on Sunday because of rain or inclement weather, if you will, and they did it on Monday, and they didn't even get to finish the race.
Yes, inclement weather really put a damper in that race. Going into it, I picked Truex Jr. He won it last year. You had Brad Keselowski, a guy that I've
who actually
never heard
finished
of,
second, of course.
Yes, but. And a guy who I've never heard of actually won the race, Chris Buescher.
Yeah, how do you say that? Is it Buescher?
I'm not sure. I was saying Buescher.
Yeah, sure.
But
I'll let's go with that.
All right. Keselowski finished second. You have to believe that they were able to finish that race. Keselowski possibly maybe had the better car, but they weren't able to. So Buescher got the first win. And Truex Jr. actually finished 38th out of 42.
Oh, wow. I guess,
yeah.
You know, go big or go to 38th out of 42.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well. So,
at least
but,
he finished.
Yeah.
Well, I,
yeah,
I, well, I mean, I guess he finished in a sense that they all finished, but they all didn't, so.
Right, yeah, so.
I'm convinced if they finish
but,
that race that I get it right and Keselowski pulls it off. But, you know, I guess we'll
I mean,
never know.
Be pretty
thanks,
great if,
rain and fog.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be pretty great if our first two NASCAR races we ever picked, we both got it right, considering 42 guys are in a race.
Yeah,
so.
It is. It's kind of like Russian roulette almost.
It really is. So, well, I guess we should just get through these upset picks here real quick. You picked a lame one, which doesn't happen until August 26th, so we'll wait a few weeks for that one, I suppose.
I mean, hey, they could probably knock the game out tomorrow if they just cancel the Olympics.
I mean, yeah, but we'll talk about the Olympics later.
When it's happening and everybody's complaining about it. All right, gotcha.
No, I'm at later in the show. I got some something for you. So
Okay.
My upset pick was actually the only pick I got right all week. It was Carolina Kowalewicz. She beat Rose Namajunas at UFC 201 in the co-main event via unanimous decision, and really put herself right in the title picture against Joanna Jay. So, we will have to see where that goes. But got that upset and made me 1-4 this week with the upset. You went 2-2 and 0-0 on your upset because, yeah. So, you now have a seven.
To be determined on my upset pick.
Yes. Yes. So, currently, you now have a 7-game lead over me, and I'm struggling. So, going to have to write the ship.
Well, you've only got 10 more episodes until we reset again.
Yes. Yes. So, that can't come fast enough.
All right. Well, I guess let's talk some baseball trades.
Let's do it. What was your favorite trade? What trade do you think that happened is really going to help a team in the playoffs, whether they're on the outside looking in right now or they're already in the playoff race and gives them a better chance to win the World Series?
Well, there was a lot of teams that I liked what they did, making moves, but probably my most favorite thing that happened was a trade that actually didn't happen, and that was, of course, Jonathan Lucroy to the Indians. Apparently that deal was all worked out and ready to go, at least the teams had decided, but no one had consulted Jonathan Lucroy, even though he had a no-trade clause, and Cleveland was on that list of teams. That just never didn't really make sense to me. I mean, I would think that if the team that you're trying to trade this person to has, even if they're, you know, World Series contender, they're as they are, but or appear to be. I mean, I don't understand why he wasn't consulted or just want to know what his deal with Cleveland is. I mean, the report was concerns about playing time next year, but, I mean, how do you not play him next year over anybody else? I mean, Yan Gomes isn't Jonathan Lucroy.
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, some of these guys, there are cities that they don't want to play in. He had a semi-trade clause. They had 8 teams on that list, and like you said, Cleveland was one of them. There were reports that he actually would have accepted the trade if Cleveland would have ripped up his 2017 club option, but they weren't willing to do that, and rightfully so, for the prospects that they were going to give up. For 2 months, it wasn't worth it to them, and I understand that, and I also understand where Lucroy is coming from. He had that team on his list for a reason. Not sure if we'll ever figure out the exact reason why that team was on his list, but he didn't want it, and I think he actually wound up in a better place. So he's definitely gonna help out the Rangers and is probably guaranteed a starting job next year because he is under contract. And I also think something that hasn't really been talked about. I think maybe. He wanted that club option ripped up because he wanted to be a free agent. I think he's only going to be paid $5.5 million next year. He is in his 30s here or his late 20s and possibly just wants to get paid one last contract here and get a lot more money. He's really stepped up as one of the better catchers in all of baseball. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but money always plays a factor, it seems. So we'll have to see there, but yeah, I mean the Indians didn't strike out. They did end up with Andrew Miller from the Yankees, who actually I think the Yankees were the biggest winners of the whole trade deadline. We'll talk about that here in a second, but yeah,
right.
The Indians,
no, I mean. Right. Like you said, yeah, the Indians didn't. They came out fine with who they got. I mean, the catcher was probably an ideal situation for them, and he would have been the ideal catcher. But yeah, no, that what you're saying totally makes sense. I think that all probably kind of ties in together. Is yeah, he didn't want to go to Cleveland for whatever reason. He also if he could, he could get rid of that option so he can possibly be that much closer to signing a bigger deal or one more big deal. That all makes sense. But good for Texas. Cleveland didn't do too bad, but I really like what the Rangers did. You get him. You also bring in Jeremy Jeffress to put into your bullpen. And not only that, but you bring in Carlos Beltran from the Yankees. Now that you've lost Senzuchu and Prince Fielder, you kind of restock that lineup, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be hard to replace Prince Fielder's production this year. I think he was hitting .212 with five homers. So he was definitely having a down year by his standards. You have to wonder how much that neck injury is bothering him. I hope it's not a career-defining injury for him. But it seems to be turning that way. The Rangers wanted everyone, and they almost got everyone. Would like to see them get a little bit more bullpen help. They did get Jeffress, like you said, so that helps. But if they would have been able to add one more bullpen piece, I think they would have been in a better position. But I think they're going to go into the playoffs with the mindset of we can outscore you, and we still have three guys that we can send out on our rotation with Cole Hamels, Yu Darvish, and possibly Colby Lewis that can bring it any given night. So I think the Rangers are in great position, and I think that Luke Roy not going to the Indians knocked them from being the favorites. I think the Rangers are now the favorites. So we'll have to see. We don't know what that even means, but
we'll
have to see.
And you can also argue that Luke Roy makes the entire pitching staff better, not just.
Yes.
I mean, obviously he's not. Yeah, these guys aren't completely changing, but with his help, with him calling games, you could see definitely some improvement in the later innings.
Yes, no doubt. We will definitely have to see where that goes. I do think that the Indians and the Rangers are the top two teams by far in the AL now, though. We will have to see that. That could be a great playoff matchup if we get to see it. But I wanted to talk a little bit here about a team that both of these teams traded with, and that was the New York Yankees. They didn't get any big name guys, but they stockpiled their farm system. They added five top 100 guys and now sit with the most top 100 guys in baseball with the Houston Astros at seven. They have a guy in Frazier who's been compared to Mike Trout. They have some good young pitching. They probably would have liked to get more young pitching prospects. They mainly got position players, but at this time, the Yankees will take whatever they can get, but I think the Yankees were the biggest winners, not only for the rest of this year, getting rid of some contracts, but I think for the future, I think they put themselves in great position to be the next Chicago Cubs and have a bunch of young guys come up, a guy that I also think is going to be their star shortstop for the next 10 years, and Gleyber Torres from the Chicago Cubs. I think the Yankees did a great job, as much as that pains me to say.
Yeah, it's been nice having the Yankees be kind of irrelevant these last few years, but are they going to come back strong? They're just waiting for all their old bad contracts to go away and like you said, stockpile on their farm system. So when they finally get the pieces that they want in place, it's going to be bad for the American League.
Yes.
Because not only that, they are going to be whatever big free agents that are going to come up. It's going to be just like the 90s Yankees.
Yes, no doubt. And they also, who knows what they even do with these young guys? They can make a trade for an already
right.
established star with all these guys. But I think they'd be better off not doing that and letting these guys come up for the most part, most of them.
They need to find another core, but I hope they don't.
A guy who also – so we could possibly see a New York Yankees lineup that includes next year at first base, Greg Bird, who probably would have been their starting first baseman into the season, replacing Mark Teixeira, who has been pretty awful this year. But, of course, he had season-ending surgery in the offseason. So he'll be back next year. Clint Frazier in the outfield. Gleyber Torres at short. They have a guy named Jorge Mateo who can play second and short. All three of those guys are top 25 guys. And then you move to number 30, you have Aaron Judge, who is another outfielding prospect that the Yankees have. And they also have number 37, a catcher, Gary Sanchez. So the Yankees are in great position right now.
At least for the long term.
Yes. They would still like to get some pitching. The only pitcher they have in the top 100 right now was the guy they also got in one of these trades is Justice Sheffield, who is number 93 on the prospect watch. So Justice Sheffield is a lefty. He came over from the Indians. So we'll have to see in here in a few years. We could possibly see Yankees Cubs World Series for 5 years in a row. Who knows?
Oh my gosh, that'd be awful. It'd be like the baseball playoffs would be like watching the NBA playoffs.
Yes, it would.
And yeah, that would not be very fun. Well, shoot. I guess moving on to other teams and other moves. The Dodgers are still trying to keep pace with the Giants, both teams actually really had made some good moves. I would say the Dodgers, of course, with the uncertainty of Clayton Kershaw, they went and brought in Rich Hill from the A's and Josh Reddick. So, I mean, it's kind of a two-for-one. You kind of strengthen your outfield and are able to do away with Yasiel Puig since he doesn't seem to be in their plans anymore for this year. And then, yeah, you kind of take on a little bit of a risk with Rich Hill. He's kind of had some issues lately. But you can definitely afford it because you're the Dodgers. So no harm there. But you're trying to catch San Francisco, who unfortunately made some nice moves of their own. They brought in their own starting pitcher, Matt Moore, from Tampa Bay, and got another reliever, a left-handed reliever in Will Smith, to shore up that bullpen. San Francisco's gunning for another title.
Yeah, it is an even year, so they're definitely going for that. I think that the Dodgers end here, I think it would have been beneficial. I thought they should have went all out for Chris Sale. Especially if Kershaw is not going to return for this season. I don't know how you can go into the playoffs with Scott Kazmir and Rich Hill as your top two guys. But hopefully Kershaw is okay, and hopefully he'll be able to return, and that won't be a problem. You have to believe if they weren't going after Chris Sale that hard, there is some positivity there with Clayton Kershaw. But we'll have to see, and I think the Dodgers are only two back of the Giants at this point, who have really been struggling since the All-Star break. We'll have to see those two teams battle it out here towards the end. The Giants kind of surprised me. They got rid of Matt Duffy, giving up on him already for Matt Moore. That race looks like it could come down to the end. And I think if Kershaw is able to come back, I think the Dodgers have the team to surpass them and take another NL West crown.
Yeah, hopefully Kershaw's all right, but I mean, I guess if I'm them, they're also kind of in a transition with trying to reevaluate how they do things as far as prospects and contracts and everything. But yeah, no, I understand not going all out for Chris Sale when you feel like you're trying to restart something and also building for the future. Dodgers are going to be back because, assuming Clayton Kershaw's healthy, then they have something to build around.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So, we'll just have to see where that all goes. So, were there any kind of not any big trades that you saw, but any kind of under the radar trades you think will be beneficial for the future, or possibly this year?
Well, there of course was the big blockbuster trade of Billy Burns for Brett Eibner.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. No. I really don't have much else. A lot of teams making moves that would seem to be necessary, or I mean, moves that were best available. Yeah, I'm surprised Chris Sale didn't get moved. I really feel like somebody would have pulled the trigger and given up too much for him. But like I said, I can understand why you wouldn't, especially when you don't know how exactly he's gonna react to coming into a new clubhouse.
Yeah, I definitely can't disagree there. But one under the radar move I thought is a guy that I actually got to watch last year for the Springfield Cardinals. That was the Chicago White Sox trading Zach Duke, one for one here for the St. Louis Cardinals AAA minor leaguer Charlie Tilston. He goes back to Chicago, his hometown. The team he rooted for growing up, and was immediately called to the big league club. He played his first game today, got his first hit and his first at bat. This guy is going to be really good. I know for Royals fans, they don't really want to hear that, but I think this guy has four tools that are really good. He's a good hitter. He's a great fielder. He has great speed. He has a good arm. His power lacks some, but I've compared him to Scott Pitsednik, and he actually was injured in his first game, so he's living up to that for me. So I thought that was a big trade for the White Sox, and I think Tilson's going to be a starting outfielder for many years.
Oh, all right. Wow. Yeah. All right. I guess that's all I got for trades.
Yeah. Me trade too. We're actually running a little low here on time. So I guess we're going to talk about Draymond Green, but I mean, there's not really much to say there.
yeah.
Don't press send.
I just find it very strange that he keeps all these problems he keeps having kind of are all related.
Yes, they are.
Let's just leave it at that.
Yes. So, yeah. Before we get into our hot tweets and hot picks here, I kind of want to say something about Trey Mason. Been reports today that the Rams, his family, no one has heard from him in 7 months since the end of last season. That's pretty scary. I hope he's okay. Had some run-ins with the law and things like that over this offseason, but no one's heard from him in 7 months. So I hope Trey Mason's okay, and I hope he's fine, and the Rams are able to figure out something, and his family are able to figure out something, and I just wanted to kind of mention him because that's a pretty scary story that's kind of developing right now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely scary to hear just the things coming out about him, yeah, kind of shutting out everybody in his life. And it's just, yeah, it just makes you worried, you know, for all, yeah, just all sorts of reasons. And hopefully it all works out and he gets some help.
Yeah, definitely, because he has a bright future, but right now that's the least anyone's worries. It's his safety and just getting back to opening his life back up to the people that care about him. So we'll have to see and monitor that story closely over the next couple weeks here.
All right, I guess we got some picks.
Yeah, I had a hot tweet. Did you have a hot tweet this week?
Yeah.
All right, what's yours?
Go for it. all right, I don't remember who wrote it, but here we go. I'm shocked Lucroy didn't want to live in beautiful Cleveland for the 2017 season and play in front of hundreds of the best fans in baseball.
All right. Yep. that pretty much sums that up.
Yep.
Yep. Nothing really to say there. So, my hot tweet actually, comes from Black Sports Online. It was today at 3:55. It was, USA basketball teams are going to stay on a luxurious cruise ship instead of Athlete Village. So that's pretty interesting. They're not going to allow their players to stay in Athlete Village, and they'll be staying on a cruise line. That just goes to show the problems that are happening down there right now is really on the minds of these athletes that are in Rio right now.
Yeah, I'd say it's eerie foreshadowing, but I mean, I don't know. We feel like we've already kind of seen what happened in Sochi, and there's been countless stories about the problems that people have been having down there already. So it's gonna be a mess.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to start here pretty soon, and I can only imagine the stories that are going to come out as these Olympics proceed.
Yeah, because the internet is always on top of that sort of thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So, we are running short on time, though, so let's get through these topics pretty quickly here. We have UFC Fight Night on FS1 Saturday night. And the main card starts at 9 p.m. We're going to start off with the co-main event in the featherweight division. Dennis Bermudez, 15-5, against Ronnie Jason, who's 14-5 with one no contest. I think Bermudez is the better all-around fighter and really likes to grind, and I think he's going to grind Jason and finally finish him with a third-round 2KO.
Oh, I'm going to go with Jason.
All right. So, yeah, Ronnie Jason. And we have in the main event, we have another featherweight matchup. Yair Rodriguez, 7-1 against Alex Bruce Leroy Caceres, who's 12-8 with one no contest. Caceres has been on a roll, and I'm going to stay with Bruce Leroy via first round submission.
Yeah, how do you not pick Bruce Leroy?
Yeah, I mean, best nickname in all of MMA. So, Alex Caceres.
Yeah. So, hands down. All right. Next up, we got a baseball game. Red Sox taking on the Dodgers. Steven Wright against Rich Hill in his Dodgers debut. Who you got?
I'm taking the Dodgers.
I'm going to take the Red Sox.
All right. That'll be a fun game.
All right, we got the Hall of Fame game on Sunday, of course. Packers and Colts. Who you like?
My coin landed on Packers.
Yeah, I'm also going to take the Packers.
All right, and upset pick?
Phillies over the Giants on Thursday.
my upset is NASCAR Watkins Glen International. Jeff Gordon or Dale Jr., who's ever driving that car, is going to win the race.
Okay. All right. That's ridiculously specific. Got a hot take?
Yes, I do. My hot take